Good to be here once again as we're here to worship God.
Amen.
And learn His ways. And always learn to leave our ways. We need to learn His ways and leave ours. Enjoy the song service and prayers. Should help us get in the right attitude to worship God in spirit and in truth. God is good, no doubt about that. Every day He's good. He's good all the time.
Amen.
And we should want to worship Him and praise Him. This morning I want to talk about, for just a short time, Paul's sacred charges. That's what we want to deal with. To charge means to make an earnest plea to the evangelist. Now, I'm not going to go back there a second. Timothy chapter 4, you remember where Paul told Timothy, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus, who shall judge the living and the dead in His appearing and His kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but they'll look for teachers who will tell them what they want to hear.
Amen.
But the word charge means to make an earnest plea to the evangelist. A person or thing entrusted to one's care. Instructions, command. These charges are in regard reading of the word. Now I'm going to go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and 27. We're familiar with what 2 Timothy chapter 4, so we'll look at this in here. Reading of the word, 1 Thessalonians 5, 27. I'll get it right here in a minute and spit that on out of there. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 27. And I won't be long. One preacher told us one time, when I first started preaching, I'd look at different material trying to learn how to preach, and then other preachers helped me. And they'd always tell us on those tapes back in, they said, you ought to be able to get your point across in about 30 minutes. So if you can't do that, you need to go back and do some more studying. So I'll try to get my point around that line. 30 minutes, 40 minutes, whatever. That's what they were saying. But anyway, 1 Thessalonians 5:27, it says, here's that word charge again. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read to all the holy brethren. Now, this letter was of such importance, we know. It was such importance, it was to be read in the public assembly of the entire congregation. Okay? Paul wanted brethren to read it at home, and that's good, but he wanted this to be read to the whole congregation. All right. It held no secret message for the select few, but all, from the least to the greatest, needed its comfort and guidance. We need it. We need the Word of God to comfort us. We need the Word of God to guide us. Because we're in this spiritual fight and Satan's going to keep messing with us. To this day, this letter continues to be relevant and one of encouragement to every child of God. The reading of God's word is very important.
Amen.
It's very important. It is needed. As a matter of fact, if we don't read the word of God, we're not going to know. If we don't study the word of God, we will not know. If preachers don't give the scriptures, they will make up teaching not from God. So it's so important to give the scriptures. To give the scripture. And I've seen preachers on television and on YouTube, and they can go 45 minutes and not give a scripture. I don't like that.
Amen.
We need to give the scripture. Tell people what you're talking about, giving them scripture so they'll know, and so they can test to see if what we're teaching is truth. That's what the Bereans did, and you know all of that. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 13 is my next scripture. Read the word. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 13. And it's amazing how you can read it. You can read the Bible and read certain scriptures and then not read it for a while and then kind of forget. And then you go back and read it again. Oh yeah, I remember that verse. I remember that verse. So we just need to read the Bible when we're at home. And in the public assembly, Paul wants brethren to read the scriptures. The preacher to read, give some scriptures, basically. 1 Timothy 4:13, here's what it says here. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 13. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. See what he says there? Paul gives Timothy instructions concerning what he is to do until Paul comes. See, now Timothy was not inspired, but Paul was. He outlines the work of the preacher here. Reading means to read the scriptures publicly. Read the scriptures publicly. They had the Old Testament scriptures, and part of the New Testament had been written. Think of how important public reading was when members did not have a private copy of the scriptures. Think how important the scriptures were. Now everybody, if you don't have a copy, you can get a copy of both Old and New Testament. Exhortation means to preach. It includes telling what the scripture mean and using them to action. Not only should we know the scripture, we need to put that to practice in our lives.
Amen.
You know, we have to put it to practice in our lives. If not, you know, we just read it. It would include warnings, encouragement, and advice.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I believe Paul gave some advice, and I'm not going to turn over there. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, he gave a little advice when it comes to marriage, and he told those brethren, because of the present distress, it's better not to marry at this time. And he gave them a little advice there. Because of the persecution or whatever, that present distress, he said it's best not to get married. He gave them some advice. I think preachers can give a little advice. I try to give a little advice to people that I would not advise a man marry a woman who's 30 or 40 years younger than him. I wouldn't advise that. Is it wrong? No, it wouldn't be wrong, but I sure wouldn't advise that. And I have given some advice on marriage and dealing with people, and some couples just told me one time, after I gave them some scriptures and all of that, later, 2 or 3 years later, one came back and told me, that they was glad that I talked to them, because they didn't get married and they didn't need to get married. They did take my advice on that. So sometimes preachers can give good advice because of years of experience and seeing people, you know, some older preachers, I read some material and they said when people get married for the wrong reason, usually it won't last. And those preachers know because they have experienced that through the years. So advice, sometimes we can give good advice. Teaching may mean both the process of teaching and the thing taught. Now Paul, what he did now, he taught Timothy these truths, and it was the job of Timothy to teach other men.
Amen.
It was his job to teach other men the truth. Okay. It was important that sound doctrine be taught. See, we got to teach nothing but sound doctrine. Sound doctrine is healthy doctrine. It's teaching that's good for the soul. Christianity is a teaching religion. People coming together not doing no teaching and not doing no preaching. I don't know where how they come up with that one. They made that up. A preacher should speak not just to be understood, but he must preach in a way that he cannot be misunderstood. Sometimes it's good to slow your sermon down. Now, sometimes I get a little fast, but sometimes it's good just kind of slow down a little bit. Reading of the word. Now here's another familiar one that we know. Reading of the word. Psalms chapter 1, 1 through 3. Let's look at this one here. We've read this before. It talks about meditation. And the man of God says, the psalmist in Psalms chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, or the advice of the ungodly, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful.
Amen.
But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters. He or she, male or female, that brings forth his fruits in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. We've read this many, many times before. Whatever he does is based on the condition that he delights in the law of the Lord and constantly meditates on the word of God. Meditate therein, on God's word. When we are true to the meditation, when we're true to that meditation, faithfulness will come out of our lives. When we're true to the meditation. And when I'm studying the word of God, and when you're studying the word of God at your desk or whatever, when we leave the word, we got to continue and go out into the world. We've got to remember those scriptures. We have to meditate upon it. And when we just got to use it, we have to use those scriptures. And just keep that meditation going. And so the prosperity assured him is of a spiritual nature. Not that any special providence is to be expected as a reward for his study of the word, but he will prosper spiritually. That I do know, you will prosper spiritually. You may lose financially, because sometimes on jobs, you may lose. There's been people just had to stand for the truth, and they lost their job. I mean, I'm sure they got another one. But I think the prosperity is a spiritual prosperity. I believe that if people are wise in making choices, I believe they're going to prosper financially. I believe that with all my heart, because you're making wise choices. But I believe he's more aiming and bending more towards the spiritual prosperity. He will be careful what he says and what he does. When we meditate upon the Word of God and study it and put it in our lives, reading and meditating on God's Word, it feels good when we put it to practice in our lives. It just feels good when we meditate upon the Word of God and just put that to practice.
Amen.
I tell brethren back before the COVID and all of that, and I would tell brethren, you know, we can have gospel meetings, we can have monthly song service, and our songs are to teach and they admonish us. See, there's lessons when we sing. There's lessons right there if we pay attention to the words. There are lessons right there. And so the songs are to teach us, but I would tell brethren can have gospel meetings, monthly song service, but if we don't put it to practice, it won't do us any good. Mm-hmm. Psalms chapter 1 and 2, meditate day and night, the man of God says. Mm-hmm. Meditate upon it day and night. The word meditate means to ponder, imagine. Ponder, to think deeply about. Consider carefully on God's word. That's what it means. 2 Peter chapter 1 verses 20 through 21 is another good scripture we're going to look at. Second Peter chapter 1 and verse 20. Second Peter chapter 1 and verse 20. And we want to look at the fact that the Word of God is of no private interpretation. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. It's not any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man.
Amen.
But holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So once again, pardon me, there is no private source for the Bible. The Bible is for everybody. Every man, every woman, every boy, every girl. The prophets did not supply their own solution or explanation or thoughts to the mysteries of life. Rather, God spoke through them. God did speak through those men. God spoke through the prophets and through the apostles. He alone is responsible for what is written in Scripture. And those men had to speak what God told them to speak. This is why Christians should study the Bible diligently. It's God's word. And matter of fact, we're going to be judged by it. John 12:48. 2 Peter 1 and 23, no mere mortal chose to utter his own thoughts as though they were God's. He couldn't utter his own thoughts and then say God said this. That's what's going on today. That's what you go out there. Well, God said such and such. I said, where'd you find it at? Give me the scripture. Well, it's in there. Well, I'm gonna come back next week and you should go with me the scripture. And they can't find it. God didn't say that. See, God did not say that. On the contrary, God chose holy men to be his spokesman. They were holy men. They were men who just told it just like it was. Men who utter thoughts given to them by the Holy Spirit. The metaphor born alone are moved is that of a ship raising its sails into the wind and going in the direction of the wind. Can you picture a ship raising its sails? They raise their sails and then the ship goes in the direction where the wind is going. This is possible. Reflect Peter's memory. I believe this kind of reflects Peter's memory of Jesus' words to Nicodemus, recorded in John chapter 3 and verse 8. If you remember that, where it says, "The wind blows where it will, and thou hearest the voice thereof, but knowest not whence it cometh and where it goes, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit." And the Greek word for wind and spirit are used here. The Greek word for wind and spirit are the same word. It's the same word in John chapter 3 and verse 8. Jesus said, "The working of the Spirit is similar to the wind." I didn't put that up there, John 3. But the working of the Spirit, the working of the Spirit is similar to the wind. Man cannot see the wind. You got people argue with you on that point. He said he could see the wind. I said, "Man, you got, the guy told me he can see the wind." I said, "You can't see the wind." However, you can see the result of it, but you can't see it. And that's what Jesus was telling Nicodemus. Man cannot see the wind, however, he can hear it and see the results of the wind. You can hear it and you can see the results, but you can't see it. Man cannot feel, he cannot see or feel the Holy Spirit. You can't see the Holy Spirit. You cannot really feel the Holy Spirit as he works, however. So once again, let me say this again. Man cannot see or feel the Holy Spirit as he works. However, he can see the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of a person who has been born again. You can see the work of it.
Amen.
This person has quit doing sinful things and is now doing righteous things. See how the Holy Spirit works through people? When they obey it, they stop doing the sinful things and start doing the righteous things. Mm-hmm. No man can see the spirit of man or what the Holy Spirit does in baptism. However, one can see the results of one being born again. Let's look at another. Get another bite of this.
And we're going to bring it to a close.
No other doctrine. We can't teach no other doctrine. And I know that, you know, that we want the church to grow. And people have told me that you can, he said, get them in with a hot dog. Get them in with a hot dog and keep them with a hamburger, Larry. Mm-hmm. That's what they tell me. Get them in with that hot dog, you keep them with a hamburger. Can't do that. Mm-hmm. No other doctrine, no other teaching, and it worked. He said it worked. He said, "I can show you that it worked," and it did work for him, but that's not God's way. Mm-hmm. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 3, 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 3, where Paul was writing to the preacher Timothy. And like I said, he wrote to Timothy, but he wanted Timothy to teach this to brethren. Teach it to anybody. Everybody. 1 Timothy 1 and verse 3. "As I urged you when I came into Macedonia, remain in Ephesus that you may charge some that they teach no other doctrine." See there? And that's why, you know, you got to really be careful. We got to really study. We got to really know. Because whatever, and I've taught some, I have taught wrong before, but you know what, when I taught it wrong, I just go back and correct it. You know. That you teach no other doctrine. The Judaizers were teaching that the law of Moses were binding on all Christians. That's what the Judaizers was teaching. They were teaching that the law of Moses is binding on all Christians. Amen. That if you're not, you're going to have to be circumcised if you want to be saved. That's what the Judaizers were teaching after Christ died and built his church. Mm-hmm. Timothy needed to confront these false teachers. I mean, he did it in a good way, and in a humble way, and an honest way, but he had to confront those false teachers. We shouldn't be afraid to confront false teachers. I'm not afraid to confront those false teachers. Paul's sacred charges, these charges are in regard to no other doctrine. No other doctrine. Remember, that's an old familiar one, 2 John chapter 1, 9 through 11. John only has one chapter, 2 John, that is. 2 John 9, whoever transgresseth and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ, 2 John 9. Whoever transgresseth and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. Amen. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. He said, if there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, which doctrine that the apostles taught, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he who bids him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds. I'm talking to a lady not long ago. And said she talked to a denominational preacher. And I listened to what she was saying. She was encouraging him and said he don't add and he don't take away. And all of that. I said, what church was that? She told me the name of the church. I said, do you not know that's a false church? And she's a member of the church. And calling up somebody like that and encouraging those people. The chapel. And I had to get on that. They have mechanical music. There is not Christ's church. And I had to just kind of say it, that you are believing something that's not true. Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. If you remember, this was after the brethren had obeyed the gospel. And then Paul said, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto a different gospel, another gospel, which is not another of the same kind. But there be some that trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we are an angel from heaven, Paul said, even us, apostles, but though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Rejected. He could have 3,000 people reject that false doctrine. Paul said, as I said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be a curse. For do I ne'er persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? If I were still pleasing men, I would not be a servant of Christ.
Amen.
See, this is not my gospel. It's not mine. I received it from God. And so Paul was right on those men, and like I said, the Galatians, who had obeyed the gospel, and then they went back to the old law, and Paul said, I marvel that you have been so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ to a different gospel. So we got to be careful. Now all that stuff sounds good when you hear that, but if it's not God's teaching, you better leave it alone. Let's do one more scripture here. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16. This is something that as I study these things, I apply it to myself. In 1 Timothy 4:16, and this is what Paul told Timothy. This is what he says here. 1 Timothy 4:16. I got some good points on this one, then we'll bring it to a close. Take heed to yourself. 1 Timothy 4:16. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. See how that works? Look at this good, all this good preaching that Paul was giving Timothy, and he was helping Timothy. A preacher must practice what he preaches. Amen. He got to do that. Other than that, he won't do no good. He must practice what he preaches. And this applies to Paul has reference to preachers. There's no part-time preachers. If you're preaching, you're a preacher. If you do it occasionally, you're still a preacher. So he's saying, practice what you preach. He must keep a close watch on himself as well as what he preaches. He's got to keep a close watch on himself. See, he's got to do that. Other than that, he won't do no good. Any man who succeeds as a faithful minister of Christ must understand that two things are inseparably linked. His personal life must be holy. Got to be holy. 1 Corinthians 9:27. Remember Paul said, I buffet my body daily. Bring it into subjection. Lest when I preach to others, I myself would be disqualified. So his personal life has got to be holy. And number two, what he teaches must be sound doctrine. It's got to be healthy doctrine. 1 Timothy 1:3, which we already read that. It's got to be sound doctrine. The word doctrine is found several times in this letter and refers either to the act of teaching or to what is taught. Doctrine matters. It does matter. This twofold condition result in a twofold blessing. By persevering and hanging in there, because it's going to get tough. If you're going to preach, it's going to get tough. Amen. By persevering in righteousness, living and faithfully teaching. Be a faithful teacher. A minister will save both himself, Paul says, and those who commit to obeying his teaching. Amen. So he's going to save himself, but he's all going to save those who he's teaching. Remember James 1:22. I didn't put that up earlier, but James 1:22, James, the Apostle James, he tells us to be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. We have to put it to practice.
Amen.
And that's when the rubber meets the road. A faithful preacher will preach to save himself and others. And I'm going to do a, Lord's willing, I'm going to do a part two on this. That's about 30 minutes, I believe, something like that. That's not a law where those men said 30 minutes preaching, but they were just saying you could hold people's attention if you be not too long. Because basically what's going to happen, they're not going to, if you preach too long, you just up there. I'm just trying to help people. They out there listening, and you preaching, I'm trying to help you. I'm an old preacher. I'm trying, because I done it myself. If you up there too long, you just up there. They're not paying you no attention. I already know that. I had a preacher to do our heat. We had some heating trouble over here at the building, and he's a gospel preacher. He said they'll love you more when you have short sermons. I don't know. But anyway, that's what he was saying. And one time the elders at a congregation, one of them talked to me, and was telling one of the preachers said, we got kids going to, they had a meeting during the week. Said, we got kids that got to go to school the next morning. Would you just cut it back so you can, you can't preach it all in one night? He didn't make more pay than elders any attention. It just kept on going and going. And a preacher told me when I was in a meeting, he said, Larry, I'm going to tell you something. He said, if you preach too long, they won't come back. And then one preacher told another preacher, and he was in the meeting, gave him the key. He said, you can stay as long as you want to. Just lock the door when you leave. Just joking to play it. But anyway, my point is, preach the Bible, preach the truth. Don't add, don't take away. Just follow God's will, and everything will be okay. If you're out there, you're not a Christian, you need to obey the gospel. You've heard the gospel, need to believe it. Repent of your sins, confess Christ before men, and be buried with him in baptism. And if you are a Christian and you have gone back into the world, back into sin, I don't know, you can't be happy doing that. you done deceived yourself. If you out there in the world and you think you're happy, you deceiving yourself. And one preacher told me this. He said, it's one thing being deceived. That's one thing when you've been deceived. But said, it's another thing when you're deceiving yourself. That's too bad. Let us stand and sing the song that has been selected. Please come.